Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the NBA offseason banter podcast returns. We are back to talk the NBA draft. It was last night, of course. A variety of things to talk about. No secret at the top with Zion Williamson. You know, if you look in the top 10, top 15, there may have been a couple of people that went a little bit earlier than we thought, a little bit later. There was a few drops, but we're just going to basically break down, especially the first round and even into the second round too. Sometimes you do find some quality players, more than likely to be a role player at that point, but we know they've found plenty of gems, no doubt about it. Plus a trade. Memphis, you know, got rid of Gasol during the season. We know he joined Toronto. And now they got rid of Mike Conley in that large, large contract with, what, 2 years? I think it was 2 years left on it. Conley to the Jazz, that pretty much means Rubio's not coming back, obviously. Of course, Rubio, you know, picked up a couple years back there in a trade. Kind of interesting. It definitely adds to Utah. I think Conley's a better player than Rubio, but there is a dynamic there that'll be interesting between the top two guys now needing the ball. You know, Rubio was a pass first type of guy. He improved scoring minorly, improved his shooting minorly. Obviously, Conley, a completely different player. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I felt like they kind of needed to, you know, to do something, shake things up a bit. And, you know, they definitely did. And now they only have that contract for 2 years, so it's not like it's a 4 or 5 year, you know, responsibility with that on the cap. So, yeah, we're definitely going to break down a variety of these picks. My Minnesota Timberwolves traded up to get Jarrett Culver. I was happy, but also you're going to have some in-between. Should it have been Cody White? You know, I've already seen some of that. So, yeah, we'll definitely break all this down here. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Offseason Banter podcast, it is streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It can be found under the Ropeadope Radio podcast pretty much anywhere. iTunes, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, all over the place, including The Grueling Truth. We're part of The Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found on iTunes and Spreaker and, you know, everywhere. You can also use Siri and Alexa through TuneIn and through Spotify to find the show. And iHeartRadio as well for Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Whole lot of stuff. Basketball, football, boxing, baseball. Just a ton of stuff. And while you're at it, you might as well head on over to the Grueling Truth .net. That's the gruelingtruth.net. And by the way, you can listen to the show right there. But yeah, there's all sorts of content there, whether it's, you know, old school talk of players and where they rank, or, you know, stuff that is topical and having to do with right as we speak. So yeah, we're going to break this all down. Just trying to see if my co-host is having some problems calling in. I haven't seen Marshall pop on just yet. Maybe I'll reset the switchboard and see what's going on here. He should be popping on here any moment. Well, real quick before I do that, might as well get the ad out of the way. DirecTV Now, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have cut the cord, you want some cable, you should try DirecTV Now. The packages start as low as $50 a month. No, you know, annual contract, 7-day free trial, all that good stuff. HBO included. You should definitely check out DirecTV Now. You can stream it everywhere. It's a pretty damn good deal. Pretty damn good deal. All right, I see my co-host popped on. I'm gonna go ahead and bring him into the fold. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Just enjoying another day of summer with no teaching. Sadly, we got to go back to school in like 2 months, which is summer goes quick, man. But about the draft last night, I kind of wanted one of my Tar Heels to play for your boys, the Timberwolves, and I really thought that was going to happen, man. It was a close possibility. I thought your Wolves were going to take my boy Coby White.
Yeah, I mean, they moved up, and it was going to be right there, one or the other. That's what it kind of seems like. It's funny, before you got on, I was just talking about that, how, once the pick went through, or the trade, I should say, went through, and you start to,
sure.
It all gets all sorted out. But, yeah, knowing that they're going to jump up to 6, it did make me think, okay, well, the two things that stand out there were clearly those two, Culliver and White. So that was something that we'll definitely discuss here. I'd say that the first discussion is Atlanta jumping up to that 4th pick, which, as we know, New Orleans had that from the Lakers. DeAndre Hunter, big man down low, solid player, good all around. I think he fits in the NBA the way the NBA is, the way the NBA is now. But like I said, defender, rebounder, no doubt about it. Is he a guy that just strokes the three, or he's an outside, presence, a major presence? No, not necessarily. That'll be something that he'll definitely have to improve upon, but he was a very efficient player. And like I said, that wingspan, I think it's like a 7'2 wingspan, 6'8. One of the best defenders out there. And he has ability to be able to move his feet enough to where he can be not lost like some guys are in the switch. Guarding multiple positions, whether it's playing a position or two, but especially guarding a position or two, or getting caught up, in a switch and a pick and roll and having at least just staying in front of the guy and not just coming down to matchups. We did see that a couple years ago, a whole lot. You still see it, in a lot of teams now. That was kind of the first move that I guess you could say was, all right, well, something happened there. What was New Orleans going to do with that pick? Were they going to keep it? Were they going to, get another young player in there? What'd you think about jumping up for Atlanta? And Atlanta now has, something to build upon, not just with this Hunter guy, obviously, but actually we mentioned it last show too. What'd you think of them jumping up and getting Hunter? And obviously, you've seen Hunter a fair amount, being a North Carolina fan and watching ACC basketball.
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised that he was a number 4 pick. I'm not a draft guy by any means. I mean, I love watching college basketball like you, and I love watching pro ball too. And I know I don't quite get the, correlation, because there's been guys I've loved for Iowa State and Carolina with all of my heart, but they have never really translated to NBA players. There's so many, sometimes it's just God-given talent the scouts see. Sometimes it's, they come from good university, so I don't really know how to always read that. But, I mean, I guess I didn't think he was a fourth overall pick, but, again, there must be things the scouts see, you know, from that spectrum, Chris, that I don't quite necessarily visualize. Because, during, you know, for Virginia, he wasn't like one of their stars. So I guess if – or at least, you know, noticeable or talked about as much like Kyle Guy or, you know, or Prentice or whatever. But, I mean, obviously they see something in him. Now you got a big to go along with Trey Young, who's kind of the franchise. So like you said, you're building pieces. Obviously, at this time in the East, they're not really a, by any means a top 5 to 6 team. But in a couple of years, I guess if they keep getting these high picks, they could turn into something. Yeah, overall, I mean, I guess it's nice to add a defensive player. I'm sure the guy probably has more offensive skill than I'm giving him credit for, but it definitely caught my eye. Obviously, moving up, though, that part I do respect. Like, okay, you're the Hawks.
Sure.
You haven't been good since you had that little run with Budenholzer against the Celtics, you know, so it's been a little while, Chris. So I agree with the possibly moving up because they had so many damn picks, you know, you might as well be aggressive with
exactly.
it. So I think it's all good, I guess, you know. We'll just have to try to see how this guy plays out, you know, because the first three picks of Zion, Ja, and RJ, it's like those guys are pretty much going to be gamers. Like those guys could average 15 points a game next year or be up for Rookie of the Year. I guess I'll maybe have to watch a little bit of Hawks game, see how Hunter does and fits in with the Hawks, maybe what their scheme is to use them, my friend.
Well, you're going to have to catch me up on that because I'm not watching a bunch of Hawks games. No,
well, dude, you know, being a man that gambles, you know, if you put a bet down, you got to watch the game. So there's a possibility.
That is true.
That's the over the Hawks, I suppose.
That is very true, though. That is very true. And I agree with you with the top three, Williamson, Morant, and Barrett. It seems like, you know, even Barrett, I think, you know, having the ball in his hands a little bit more than he was able to do, and not just in his hands, but like having plays ran for him even more, you know, off the ball. We talked about this during the season, you know, it's hard to be off the ball if you've never been off the ball. You know what I mean? Like if you're always the guy and then you're not that you're not the guy because the guy scored his ass off. I mean, him and Zion both scored for freshmen in the ACC, I think they were 1 and 2, if I'm not mistaken, in the history of the ACC, I think, as scorers, for freshmen anyway, you know, per game, not overall. But
RJ scored the most points in the ACC overall conference last year. So you're right there. The man gets buckets.
Yeah. So, I mean, I there were some times where you thought, huh, like, where you at, RJ? But – you know, and this is going to be a little bit different. I've heard people talk about Tracy McGrady. I can understand with some of the build there. You know, I'm not really going to go all the way there just yet on him. That's tough, man. McGrady was, before the injuries, McGrady was just a handful in so many different ways. But, you're right. Those three, does seem like – go ahead.
Sorry. When you said that, it triggered me. Okay, I the one thing I think they need to get rid of, or I know they won't, but and Chris, I'm sure you laugh about this sometimes too, is the – when they draft a person, this guy is going to be the next so-and-so, so-and-so. And I get they do it, but, man, like ESPN a couple of days ago, it's like, well, you know, Zion has the full-court vision of – LeBron and is going to pull up like Lillard. And last night, some guy they drafted in the round was like, he's going to be a Kawhi Leonard. It's like, I kind of get they do that, but it's kind of silly. You know, it's some college kid who just got drafted. I think he's like a mid-round pick, and Chauncey Bill's like, oh, that's going to be Kawhi. It's like, what? No. Kawhi is one of the best five players in the world, you know, for the past however many years. Like, I think it's kind of a silly thing. I get that they have to do it, but, you know, it just seems kind of dumb to me, brother. You know, let's let these guys play some ball before every player in the first round is comparable to a current NBA superstar.
Yeah, and I think it's really just like it kind of started out just in the mock drafts, a comparison, some sort of comparison.
Sure.
And a lot of has to do with, well, the style of game or whatever. But to me, a lot of it has to do with their body type, you know, and just kind of what they look like on the court. And the size and the length and all that. And, Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know. They do it in the NFL as well, especially when you're looking through the draft, not like the magazines and all that and the websites where they really do that. At linebacker, he reminds me of this or that. Or, but you're right. As far as any kind of head-up comparison, it's a lot, especially in the NBA, dude, because you're talking about an individual player that out of the you know, like you said, one of the top five players for a long time. It's I don't know. It is kind of funky like that, but I can understand like the way he looks on a court. You know, I do get what they're saying there. He's a big, long dude. Sure. He can dribble well. He can score his ass off. He can shoot. So I get that, but I know what you're saying. Sometimes it's just a little over the top when it comes to that. So right below it, before we get into my T-Wolves, Darius Garland from Vanderbilt, Cleveland got him at the fifth pick there. And there is a lot of upside on this guy. I've heard, you know, just minor things here and there. I've seen him play and whatnot, but there is some, you know, there is some issues. You know, we did have, we didn't get a lot of, you know, examples of him because he did have that MCL injury that hurt his freshman year, no doubt about it. You know, I wonder what all that is. And to shoot up like this, sometimes there's guys that shoot up during the combine and shoot up late in the draft, and sometimes it all pans out. Sometimes it makes you scratch your head and you go, man, is this a risk? And not even breaking down his game per se, but if you look who he's going to be matched with, a Colin Sexton, you know what I mean? A guy that they actually have similar frames. He's a guy that does, you know, break people down off the dribble. Sexton seems like he's going to be a pretty solid player. We're going to find out more about him, but what'd you think of that? You know, we've heard if you paid attention to any kind of mock drafts or drafts in general, draft talk podcast, people have mentioned this guy, but it is a risk based off a lot of it's based off high school rankings. If you think about it, because he didn't have to, it's not like he just got hurt at the end of the season or something like that. What'd you think about that? And now they have two young guards in that backcourt for Cleveland.
Well, speaking of what I just said about how, you know, you have projections based on these guys that, you know, maybe you and I don't realize that the scouts do. Well, I mean, this is a massive projection you just mentioned, Chris. I mean, this guy is a like top five pick, and I believe he played four games of college basketball. Like, holy cow! Like, I hope they're right with the pick. But this is a guy that we probably never talked about on our podcast, but it seemed like the Wolves and the whole world was trying to trade up for the guy this past week, so the news was going pretty quickly on him. So people see something, you know. But as you said, if they nail this pick right now, you got Sexton and Garland. That's a nice looking backcourt. You got a SEC backcourt of young kids. Again, they're like the Hawks. They're just going to try to be good in the next 3 to 4 years when, in their minds, hopefully like Philly or Toronto fade a little bit. So I guess we really got time will tell, because, I mean, unless you're a Vandy diehard who watched his first four games of the year or whatever, like, you're just going really off projections completely. So, again, it comes back to that, you know, the analyst guys must know what they're talking about. Cross my fingers.
Yeah, and you look at Cleveland's, some of their track record with who's in charge over there, and it's like, yeah, well, I guess we'll find out. You know what I mean? I guess we'll find out. But that one kind of stood out. Like you said, four games. And so you're basically going off his high school rankings. Now, I know it's more in-depth than that. We know that. We know that these guys have probably seen him against top-tier talent and all that, you know, one-on-one in a group setting, yada, 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 even in high school and some of those camps and all that. So it's not like the first, that's all they have is those four games, but at another level, that is all they have in a sense. So that'll be interesting right there. But I kind of felt like he was going to rise just because everybody had said he was going to, you know. But we'll see, man, because that kind of seems like you're going to swing for the fence, you know. And if it hits, man, it's going to be great. But I don't know. And there was some talk about the Timberwolves, since they moved up there. Would they try to swing, you know, the bat and go for the fences? Or would they just get a guy who was already kind of expected to go right around here, or at least, yeah, I mean, he got sixth. I saw him in top five pretty much the whole time. Jarrett Culliver. Now, you know, his stock just kept improving. Obviously, you know, Texas Tech had that great, phenomenal run. Thank God the Big 12, you know, we went over this on our college ball show for years. Kansas finally didn't win the damn, you know, conference champion, or not the conference championship, but the league, you know, regular season conference championship. So that was nice. That was nice to see that. They made a nice little run, yada, yada, yada. This guy really does seem, Culliver, who they actually drafted, he seems like he's pretty damn sound defensively. If you look at two games in particular, his shot was really, really off in you know, in that run. So it's weird. I don't know. Some people are looking at it and going, yeah, but dude, did you see what his percentages were in the tournament? And you're like, yeah, I hear you, but do you really think those are exactly like an example of him? And not just that, but when they needed him, he started filling it up late in those games and stuff like that. So it's kind of wishy-washy there. He showed a lot of, you know, great things on the run in this season. It was just some of the shooting woes that he had, you know, that was an issue there. And actually, if you look at his 3-point shooting from his freshman to sophomore year, it definitely dropped. And, you know, when I've heard people already analyze this before the Timberwolves even drafted him, and he said it as well, that, you know, they did lose some players. And he said, you know, I was taking harder threes instead of that, you know, catch and shoot. And when I was a catch and shoot, I was 37-38. When I'm taking harder threes, I definitely found, in just less threes too, he found that his accuracy went down. So that'll be something he'll have to work on. He's not just a plug and play 3-and-D, but he's got potential to be a 3-and-D, no doubt about it. Give me your thoughts, you know, on this one. And two, because he can come off the bench, he doesn't necessarily have to start. It really kind of matters what happens there. They moved on Saric to get up to the sixth spot. He was part of the secondary part of the trade for Jimmy Butler. You know, he had 1 year on his deal, and then the Wolves were going to either have to extend him or give him a fresh deal. And they did get a good look at him last year, so much so that the last chunk of the season he even got into the starting lineup. And it was kind of wishy-washy. You know, some of it was good, some of it was bad. He didn't seem like he was as good as 3-point shooter as he came in billed as. Maybe it was just a minorly down year. Not a great defender. So I'm not too worried about losing Saric, but what are your thoughts on Culliver? And then, you know, while we're at it right there, you did have Cody White as well. What are your thoughts just in general? Do you think it was a good move, or you think, obviously, you may be a little biased being that you're a Tar Heel fan seeing Kobe White, but you also may have some intel and in watching so many of his games this year that you know a thing or two that the average fan doesn't.
I mean, obviously, I know my Warriors in Portland, and you know the Wolves. I mean, I'm going to try to just kind of guess from what I've learned from you. What my buddies are always bitching about. I know they're hoping they were going to be able to trade Wiggins for a piece last night. That didn't happen, but the Wiggins contract obviously isn't exactly perfect to trade. But they were kind of saying that, you know, he could be kind of the Wiggins of the future in a way. Like the guy, you know, a versatile player, can try to make shots off the dribble, hopefully could be a defensive guy. Obviously, I think if you're a Wolves fan, you want to see maybe Culver develop more than Wiggins. You know, so I think maybe you've kind of found a guy who can play that kind of style. With having Karl Anthony Towns and some older veteran guards, I do think maybe the Kobe White thing would have been okay, because obviously Teague and Derrick Rose aren't going to be around forever. But I'm with you. For Culver, again, good defensive player, but the issue we talked about last year for Texas Tech, mainly before they went on that huge run, was, you know, they were not a great crunch time team. Great defensive, but not great crunch time. Now, obviously, they improved their shit because they went on a hell of a run. But as you said, the numbers shooting weren't that great. And as you mentioned that, Chris, that the biggest thing that I've learned in the past years as I've followed NBA more closely, kind of since we've become friends and so on and so on, is that the biggest difference you see is guys who can score easily in college, the percentile of ones who can do the same in the pros becomes a small number, you know. So for kind of a red flag standpoint, if this guy has had issues being a scorer in college when it was clutch for moments, the defense only gets so better and better. Like when, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, it was kind of the myth in the 90s for, you know, well, NBA, those guys don't play defense. Well, they do. They play really good defense. It's just guys like LeBron, Harden, and Lillard score easily because they're that prolific at scoring. You know, it took like Harrison Barnes and Klay Thompson for a while to learn how to score. So I guess the part I'd be a little scared about is, you know, is he going to be developed into a true scorer? Like, you're trying to build around Karl Anthony Towns now. You trade up for this pick. I think as a Wolves fan, you want to see this guy on the court probably next year, 15 to 20 minutes a game, scoring hopefully 10 points. Like, you want to see something, because you trade up for him. Like, I think the fans are going to want an immediate, not that they're expecting the guy to be the next Cat or anything, but they're going to want some immediate reaction. And I'm not quite sure if he'll get that. So, again, maybe he can kind of learn from Wiggins and the guys and kind of build into that kind of player. And with that being said, I'm kind of bummed, because I was kind of hoping my guy would go to the Timberwolves. Instead, Kobe White goes to Chicago. A couple of years ago, you know, that team had Jimmy Butler, and they were a pretty good squad. And the Fred Hoiberg thing never panned out really at all. And it's kind of been drama ever since there. So I kind of feel bad for my guy going there, because the Bulls have kind of been a mess. They seem to maybe win 25, 28 games a year. So obviously right. He's going into kind of a rebuilding situation. The one thing I'll say about him, then we'll keep moving along, is the dude is freakish athletic. He's not afraid to shoot. I think at times he did shoot a little too much at Carolina, but he has talent. I think he's maybe got a little more of a scoring potential than Culver. Obviously not great as gifted defensively. But the only thing that scared me a little bit was in the Duke games, he really was kind of a non-factor. But I get, as a freshman, you know, it's your first game against Duke, second game against Duke, he didn't do that well. So I was hoping he would have stayed his second year, just kind of get that clutch kind of DNA, Chris, because it's, you know, some guys have it, some guys don't. But in clutch games, at least against your big rival, he kind of played out of control and wasn't himself. So I'd hope he would have refined his skills. Obviously, the people probably tell him, dude, you got skills, come and play. It would have been nice to see him play another year to develop more a gamer. But, you know, it is what it is. The guy's getting his paycheck, good for him. But going to Chicago, that's kind of a tough spot to keep building on how to become a better scorer in the clutch.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they're going to trade Zach LaVine anytime soon either. You know what I mean? So he likes to have the ball in his hand.
That's an understatement.
That's for sure. So whether he's dunking it or holding it or passing it, he's, you know, he can shoot too. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And right below it, it's kind of funny. Usually we don't necessarily – you know, we kind of pick a couple of guys and you go, huh, okay, yeah, I like that spot, or man, maybe they reached or whatever. But I feel like in this draft, you get more, especially in the top 10. And I think Jackson Hayes from Texas, that big center, you know, that center who came late to basketball type guy, got drafted eighth. And I got to admit, I didn't see him getting drafted eighth. You know, I did not see that at all.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah. And, you know, I do understand the Pelicans need a big now because they only got a very overrated big. And I think it's only a one-year deal, if I'm mistaken, the Okafor. So, to me, I see where they're going with that. This is kind of swinging for the fences again. And you got a guy right below him from Gonzaga. I mean, either of the Gonzaga guys may turn out better, Clark and Hashimura or whatever his
Hishimura.
Name is. Hishimura. Yeah. And that's right below him. That's right below him. So obviously he was there, right, Marshall? What'd you think of this? Because this one threw me off. I get the potential, but the guy just learned the game, so we don't know his potential. But then again, I don't know. It kind of seemed like a stretch to me, man. I mean, everybody else too, but that one kind of got me.
Yeah. I'm not a draft guy, but this name, I was like, did I miss something? Like, is this a guy that we talked about in the show this year that I forgot about? Was, you know, was I drunk? You know, what had happened? Because I just, nothing came to me. I know that Shaka had Bamba or Mamba or whatever the hell the center was, you know. And,
yeah,
and
you got it.
Shaka's had some good. Yeah, but this guy, I didn't know. And when I was going through mock drafts, just kind of doing it for fun, I didn't see people listing him. I forget the name of the ESPN guy. They have a new kind of ESPN dude, and I was checking his stuff on Twitter, and I didn't see this name mentioned. So, Mira, this is definitely off the wall, again, going on projection. Now, maybe this guy had great numbers, but I don't even really recall him that much being like a stud in the Big 12 that we heard about this year. And we follow that conference pretty closely. So you're for sure going out on a limb here. Again, just going based off analysis. You know, I guess as I was thinking about college football, you know, in that retrospect, it's a less of a gamble because you've seen the guy play for 3 years. With these high school kids, especially with Donald, these guys, I mean, you really are hoping your scouts and your department did the right job or else, you know, you're wasting the top 10 picks. So we have all these guys, it's like, you know, okay, Garland played 4 games at Vandy. This kid, no one really knew about. You know, you really are going out on a limb compared to a Gonzaga guy who you've seen play, you know, a couple of years now in big stages and has come from a developmentally good team. So I'm with you.
Right.
I was a little surprised by the pick. You know, I mean, obviously he's going to be kind of in the shadows of Zion and all that, along with Ingram and, you know, well, yeah, I'm with you. I can't even pretend to talk about the guy because I really don't recall even mentioning him last year in the pod. Obviously, people see something in him, but again, you're hoping your projections pay off. And now, is he hopefully going to be better than Okafor? God, you hope so. I mean, Okafor doesn't play defense. I'm surprised they renewed his damn contract. They must have. He must have pictures of someone we don't know about to keep on that payroll, Chris. But yeah, I don't know. But the Gonzaga guys, though. Again, kind of, you know, it's a little more of that, well, they're coming from a good program idea. And that's
right.
Kind of been the same thing, you know, if you ever see a guy drafted from Michigan State or Carolina or, hell, anyone from Calipari, it's crazy we haven't talked about a Kentucky guy yet because that's almost been a guarantee that Calipari always had a couple of top picks. I mean, obviously, he had guys get drafted last night, and Hero wasn't far down the list at all. But, yeah, hell, we'll see what happens. But good for the Gonzaga guys. That hurt Hishimura is obviously should be a damn good player. And I know Clark, people were projecting he could be like a top 12 or 13 pick, and he went a little bit above that. So hopefully he develops into a good player as well.
And just so there was a number on there, 612541. They called the last show. I was literally about to go to you, and then they just popped on right now, and I was just about to say, hey, we're going to get to you in a moment, and they just drop, like they get on, press one, and then they hang up. So, you know, I see you on the switchboard. Go ahead and call right back, man. I was literally about to say, all right, let's go to blah, 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 blah. But you hung up, and I'm pretty sure it was the same. We did a show, what, Sunday or Saturday, and it was the same number, and I was just about to go to you. But just in the future, if anybody's on there, if we're in the middle of a conversation, I'm not necessarily going to cut them right off. You know, I just let them finish my thought. Just like me, I'm going to finish my thought, and then I'm going to say it. So, you know, if you want to call back, we'll put you basically right in, unless we're right in the middle of a sentence. But you'll be in there really quick. So, by the way, the number to dial is 646-381-4990. But, yeah, it was a 612 number, so it was a local number, Minnesota, Minneapolis number, or not Minneapolis, but Minnesota. So if you want to call back in, feel free, man. We weren't ignoring you or anything like that, but you hadn't been on long. So I was just about to get to you, just so you know. And, yeah, you know, you talked about Cam Reddish went in about the area that I thought he would. Good pickup by Atlanta, sure, though. He is a guy that definitely played third wheel, and definitely – well, he did have a little bit of an injury that slowed him down. He's a guy potentially I really like Cam Reddish in that spot. Cameron Johnson, P.J. Washington, and then there you go with the Tyler Harrow getting drafted as well to Miami. And the guy from what is that guy's name from Guinea? Here, hold on. Let me look at the list real quick. Detroit got him. He was the guy that was maybe going to go in the top 10. He ended up 15. Sequoia. He's a guy that a lot of people are eyeballing because of kind of like what he looks like on the court, the 6'9", the super long, lanky, you know, versatile type of guy that is going to be able to potentially – defend a handful of positions. It sounds like a broken record, but that's basically what you want in the NBA if you can get it. You're right, though, with Kentucky, a 12 and a 13 was their first and second picks of the draft. We're normally not seeing that. Usually, sometimes they get the first pick, but usually they're a little bit higher there. When you start to round out, there's Brandon Clark. He went to Memphis. Don't know a whole lot about Grant Williams from Tennessee, as far as I watched a chunk of their Tennessee games, but I didn't watch his career or know about him, you know, that type of thing. Whereas I know a lot about Ty Jerome, you know, but can he transition? You know, he does have some length, Marshall. He went to the Suns at 24. He does have a whole lot of length. He's a smart player. He's obviously a pretty clutch player, as we know. Couple other ones that kind of stand out to me. In fact, getting, you know, down later into the draft there, Jordan Poole from Michigan, shooting guard, 28th to your squad, Golden State. Maybe you want to talk about him and a couple other players that I mentioned as well. People were talking about that Cameron Johnson, and he's kind of not necessarily a bust, but boomer bust situation where you're like, man, this guy could really do something here. And, you know, he can hit the three. I mean, he's a stretch big. There's no doubt about it. Maybe you want to kind of give your take on that guy because he's from North Carolina. The Suns picked him up. And a couple of other ones that kind of pointed out, you know, or kind of stood out to you, including – like I said, the Golden State Warriors pick in the first round.
Yeah, well, I'll go to the Warriors pick first. I think you're obviously looking for a little more production. Now, is this guy going to be a stud all of a sudden? I don't know. Michigan is, again, just a well-balanced team that's, you know, incredibly coached by Beilein, you know. But obviously, Clay is hurt, Durant's hurt. Your bench was a little ineffective. Like, I get the shooting guard pick. Obviously, you know, you have a hell of a season. You're not going to get a lottery pick, so I get that. You know, he's probably the top guy available on the draft board. Again, Michigan, you know, he's comes from a well-developed program, and he's going to get minutes. I know that because with our horses out right now, he's going to be thrown into action. So obviously, playing him with Steph will help a lot. I mean, Michigan's been known for good defense. I assume the guy's got some defensive skills. So, again, with the shooting guard pick, I get it. I think that's probably a position-wise pick. And obviously the Warriors still have a lot to do as to how things are going to look next year. But, I mean, fingers crossed. Hopefully the kid can be a productive scorer because we're going to need that next year until people come back. And for Cam Johnson, he was a typical just like college guy I love. He always a good player, would hit clutch threes, long and lanky, can run the court well. Obviously the Suns are still trying to figure something out. You have Ayton Booker, and you added a bunch of pieces in again, so we'll see how kind of fits in. I think he'll probably be kind of like that Drew Henson from Carolina, or John Henson, who just gets 2-3 blocks a game, can get you 5-6 rebounds a game, can score you 6-10 points a game. I think he's kind of going to be kind of like Henson was, because Henson was actually a hell of a good defensive player for his first couple of years in the NBA and actually for his career. So if you can kind of be a spinoff of Henson and just an athletic guy can run the court like the Suns really like to do, hopefully that goes pretty well for him. Again, my two Tar Heel boys went to teams that are highly not making the playoffs. That kind of sucks to see. But I suppose from that standpoint, Chris, you're going to see your guys play more because they're going into teams that are going to need to get action on the court, obviously Disher and the Warriors and Poole. But, so hopefully Henson and Kobe White get off to – or excuse me, hopefully Cam Johnson and Kobe White get off to good starts as the season begins.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it'll be – I mean, there is some things that stand out about that dude that I think he could really do something as far as being a good role player. And I like Poole. I really like Poole from Michigan. Maybe he can come off the bench, you know what I mean? In Virginia, the Virginia guard, Ty Jerome, obviously we know that, you know, is he a shooting guard? Is he a point guard? Guy kind of played more of that role. They both kind of played that role in a sense as far as bringing the ball up or whatever, but they've been looking for a guy to kind of maneuver into the point guard situation there, to go along with what they already have, which is a lot at that position or a shooting guard or whatever you want to say. So that'll be kind of interesting. What about Nasir Little, who got picked at 25th for North Carolina for Portland? Portland picked him. What do you know about that guy? Because I always hear such a wishy-washy stuff about him. Like, man, the potential's there, or, yeah, I don't think this guy's going to work out. Where are you at with him?
I'm a little 50-50, Chris, because you're right. The love he got throughout last year, you know, it was pretty much always a lottery pick. Like, you know, you kind of had the theory of, you know, he's going to get drafted above Kobe White, you know, with all the love they gave him. And that turned out to be the complete opposite. And there was games where literally – if you didn't know Carolina, you would name Cam Johnson and Kobe White as the top two picks. But there'd be some games where, you know, Little would beat someone off the dribble, slam a dunk down, and the whole place would go nuts. So,
sure.
It's legit kind of like, okay, the kid's got talent, but he needs to really show it. Because there weren't many games last year where he, like, took over. Now, did he have good stats? Absolutely. But, again, being a Carolina guy, I would say Cam Johnson and Kobe White and Luke May were our go-to people last year. And Nasir Little's name isn't mentioned there. So he could turn out to be one of those college guys that's actually truly meant for the NBA. Now, from his standpoint, Chris, if he starts and will get a lot of minutes, you're playing with Lillard and McCollum. So you're walking into a damn good situation. Obviously, he's got good size on him. I don't know how great of a defender he is. He didn't jump out great defensively to me. But you're going to, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the NBA. You're joining an incredible team that can score the ball pretty easily. So I think he's finding himself a good situation. And hopefully all the love he's got over the past year or two of draft boards will pay out, because I didn't quite see it in Carolina, but that doesn't mean he can't turn out to be a more well-tuned player in the NBA.
Right, and that's the thing about college. Sometimes, you know, as we say time and time again, there's only one ball, you know. So,
sure.
I don't know. It does, especially at those big programs. We saw that with Kentucky chunks of years, too. In fact, their best team that they actually won the whole thing, maybe not their best team because, the you know, those 2 years after that with Cat and all them, you look back and go,
sure.
Yeah, that's their best team, but they didn't win the championship. So, yes and no, it, you know, it matters who you're going against and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, you had a guy in Anthony Davis who's right up there. He's been in MVP races, and he was the fifth leading scorer, you know, and I remember people saying, I just don't know if he can develop into a scorer. I really don't know. He's a hell of a rebounder, hell of a defender, but it just seems like he's limited, you know, and it's like, well, I thought, you know, I think he turned out pretty good, if you ask me. So it seemed like, you know, scoring wise, I think he could score. In fact, even way more
sure.
than I thought he would. And the way he's filled out too, but that's neither there or here. I think we'll have plenty of time to talk about Anthony Davis this next year coming up. But we
yeah.
did see some people rise, you know, a little higher than we thought that we mentioned. Some people drop some, you know, no doubt about it, that happens. But a couple of names that kind of stand out to me in the second realm. Carson Edwards went to Boston. He could play a role for them. Bruno from Purdue, that point guard, really talk about clutch. You want a guy, you know, that could fill it up and be clutch and lead a team. I'm not saying the NBA is going to lead the team, but, you know, in college he sure did. Also, Bruno Fernando, another big drafted 34th, I should say, from Maryland. Got to see a whole lot of him. He went to Atlanta. Hey, what do you know, Atlanta? You know, Atlanta has so many of those picks. So there are some names that kind of stand out. I'd say the biggest drop is that center from Oregon. Denver ended up maneuvering to get him at the 44th pick. But that center, that 7'3", 208, which is just funny to think of, 7'3", 208. That's not big for those who, you know, that's some skinniness right there. But that's probably the biggest drop out of them all, I'd have to say, because he was, you know, halfway through the second round. Any guys that drop that you kind of scratch your head at, or maybe, you know, late first round, halfway through the second, that may stand out and say, hey, he might be a nice little role player for him.
It's going a few minutes back from what you said, that Grant Williams for Tennessee, you know, obviously we watched some games more than others. I kind of got hooked on Tennessee last year. I think he's going to be a good NBA player, obviously. And then his buddy, Admiral Schofield, went to Washington. I think he'll fit in good there too. Williams was, like, super, super good in the post. He had one of the better post games I saw in college all last year, and he's not a huge guy, so it'll be curious to see if that translates in the NBA. Obviously, he'll be playing against guys probably similar to his size, but when you have incredible post moves, that's normally not something that goes away. Unfortunately, he went to the Celtics, which is not a team I ever cheer for, really, so I didn't get much luck for where my boys went. But I think, as you mentioned, you know, with Carson Edwards being a clutch player, I think Grant Williams is a guy that, again, can go somewhere and be efficient for Boston, or hopefully trade him. That'd be okay too. And then for Admiral Schofield, same deal. That's built like a truck guy for Tennessee. He should be kind of, you know, the Wizards, well, with John Wall, obviously a run-and-gun team. I think he'll fit the mold pretty well there, because that's pretty much what he did Tennessee. He's just a super ripped dude that's big in athletics, so I think the upside's pretty big for him. I was listening to some story a couple weeks ago, and for a while there, like when him and Grant Williams were at Tennessee, they were working out really hard under Barnes, and Schofield cut his body fat down to 4%. The dude was like running like a freak. So I think from a freakish athletic point, Chris, the kid's going to be special. And obviously if you're Washington, you got to find a way to figure out what to do for a year without John Wall. So he'll probably get a couple minutes too. So yeah, it's a couple of Tennessee guys I've seen. Obviously, you know more about the Big Ten. I didn't know too much about the Maryland center. We kind of pieced things together here and there, but hopefully those Tennessee guys have a good stretch together.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as I do know a little bit about Jalen Noel, or Nowell, or however you say his name, from Washington. The reason why I bring it up, because it does have a local tie for me with the Timberwolves. And No, he might be just a guy that can come off the bench and shoot threes. He definitely, you know, he looks like he's going to be more of a development type thing, but it looks like he'll be able to shoot the three, that's for sure. And that's something that, you know, we can always improve upon, no doubt about it. Now, we could go every single little swap, and the Knicks got the 46th pick, and he got for the 50. You know, we're not going to do all that. We're not going to do all the swaps and the, you know, just the minor stuff that, sure, it adds up, you know, over time. But if it doesn't stand out, it doesn't really stand out as far as pertaining to this podcast. So, obviously, we did talk about, you know, the Saric trade with the Wolves to get up there and whatnot. Pacer did trade TJ Warren. That was something that you could at least mention or whatever. But in the last handful of days, the biggest trade clearly was Mike Conley heading on over to Utah from Memphis. Memphis gets Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder, which this guy's, how many teams this guy's been on? I mean, every team? He hasn't been with the Timberwolves.
Quite a few.
I mean, quite a few, and I'm not even ripping them. You know, sometimes, some stops are better than others, but in the end, he's a pretty solid player. There was also a number 23 pick involved in a projected 2020 first-round pick as well. But really, you know, Rubio is a free agent. They traded to get him 2 years ago. He improved his three-point shooting just barely. He improved his scoring like a point and a half, but still wasn't quite the answer there. Now that Conley only has 2 years left of that major deal that we remember from about, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that summer, especially the first summer, the second summer to an extent, but the first summer especially, I mean, you know, Dieng, Gorgui from the Timberwolves is making, you know, $17 million a year off of that back then. Same off season, but so we knew some of this stuff would come back to haunt some of these teams. It just kind of matters which one. But Conley joining the Jazz, I think you got to say does improve the Jazz. He's a hard nosed player. He can do some things offensively, no doubt about it, that Rubio couldn't do. Is he just like a knockdown three-point specialist? No, but he sure has a lot better shooting percentage, field goal, and three-point percentage career-wise in just the last regular season than, you know, Rubio ever did. And Rubio's assists went down, too. That kind of threw me off a little bit. You know, you only got 2 years. You did need to maneuver, I think, because last year they made such a nice run. Then it kind of quieted up real quick because, you know, they lost. They got booted out. Then they lost this year. And what do you think of this pick? I like that they did something. They didn't settle. They had money to spend. It didn't look like they were going to be able to spend it on someone up to this level that they'd actually, you know, land. What do you think here? And also Memphis now getting rid of Gasol during the season to Toronto and getting rid of Conley, clearly, you know, along with, I guess you could say, Rudy Gay several years back, right? Those were the pieces. Those were the cornerstones. And that was they had a pretty nice run. Only made one conference final, but had a pretty nice run. They were, you know, they dealt with some injuries here and there. What do you think about Conley going there, considering where they're at? And then also, you know, we all know who the guy is as far as bringing the ball up, scoring, and all that there. How do you think that backcourt is going to work? Because, like I said, you know, Rubio is clearly a pass first. So maybe that blended really well. I'll give you an example with Wiggins. When Rubio played with the pass first Wiggins, it sure seemed to work better for Wiggins because that means he scored more and he was also able to get the ball in better places. Conley and Mitchell together, you know, I'm interested to see how they fit together, but I do like the trade because, hey, in 2 years you'll have a grip of money.
Yeah, I like the deal. Well, I shouldn't say I like the deal because I don't, because I like Memphis. I think it was a good deal for Utah. As you mentioned, like the grit and grind Memphis, it was, you know, Gasol, Conley, Tony Allen, and Randolph, you know, and now that's all like gone. So that is kind of crazy. That sucks. I've always kind of rooted for that team. I listen to a guy that does a show from out there. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot of positives to talk about on this show. My Carolina guys went to bad places. Memphis is losing the guy. But in fairness, with Memphis, so you had to do the deal, though, Chris.
Right.
You draft Ja Morant number two, which obviously makes sense. That wasn't done as a slap in the face to Conley by any means. That's simply the second best guy on the board. Conley is a little bit older now. Conley's still a hell of a good player. But so the deal made sense. Now, obviously, as we talked about last show, you never seem to get a bunch of great stuff back. Obviously, Jay Crowder is a good piece. Korver and Grayson Allen are, but from a Memphis standpoint, you now got, you know, John Morant and you got Jaren Jackson. So you have two young pieces to build off of. And obviously Jaren Jackson did pretty good this past year. And, you know, the few people are super high on John Morant. But those guys, it's kind of like Atlanta, you know, or a bunch of – or Chicago or whatever team you want to name with two young kids. Okay, well, Jaren Jackson's now the face of the franchise, who's had, you know, the four guys I just mentioned for the past 10 years, and that's how he fell in love with that team. So, you know, unfortunately, they're in the Western Conference. They don't get an easier road like Chicago and Atlanta young kids do. So I hope they do well. But obviously, I hope John Morant's the freak he appears to be, because you're filling in huge shoes for Conley, who's been there forever and done well. Now, obviously, he goes he stays in the Western Conference, but goes to a team, and I think it's great for him because he's a good defensive player. I think they say he shoots threes like 37%, which a little bit, you know, obviously a lot higher than Rubio. It's like 37% on like open shots or something. So he's now a threat. You can't do a pick and roll and stay 15 feet from like for Rubio. And the reason I say that is because now Donovan Mitchell isn't exactly the one and only guy that you need to rely on. You know, we talked about them in the playoffs last few years on our NBA playoff show, Chris, and it was like, well, man, Donovan Mitchell against Harden, he put up a good fight, but he faltered away. Well, shit, it's pretty much like Gobert's not going to drop you 30, and they got a bunch of role players, but it's pretty much, hey, Donovan, here's the ball, go do something.
Right.
Oh, wait, next game. Okay, Donovan, here you go again. Well, now you can't if you double one guy, the other guy's going to make you hurt, you know, and they're already a great defensive team. You had Conley, who's a great point guard. I think the deal is great for Utah because now Mitchell's no longer the main guy. He doesn't have to worry about bringing the ball up the court. Conley's going to do that. Conley can score. Conley goes to a better team, might energize him a little bit more. Again, Quinn Snyder's got the defense figured out there. Now you make your offense better. I think that's a nice piece for the Jazz. As we mentioned last show, you know, the LeBron's not missing the playoffs this year. So that's another spot now that is going away. You know, maybe Houston's going to fall down because apparently Chris Paul makes fun of James Harden's, like, pecs and stuff. I don't, that shit's crazy. But anyways, you know, I think that solidifies Utah's playoff spot, brother, in the West, which is important to do right now because they're a team that they probably feel they're in their prime for the next 4 to 5 years. They don't want to go through rebuilding. So I think it was a nice piece for them. And getting rid of Grayson Allen is a great decision, in my opinion.
I wonder. You just must not like his game. There can't be any kind of inside biasness on that one, being a North Carolina fan, couldn't there be? Nah, just sheer what you see
tripping
on the court, right?
Cough, tripping. Yeah.
Yeah, right? I heard he tripped on the way to the plane when he got shipped out, but that's what I heard. You know, karma is a mother effer. But, you know, Memphis now, and they got a big, you know, when they traded Gasol originally, too, you know, and it looks like they may re-sign him up. So, It's they had to move on. They're gonna have more money now too for the future and whatnot. But I think it'll work really nice in Utah, and they may go up now. You know what I mean? They may be the ones on the rise. I really believe that that's gonna be a nice little combo, in the backcourt, and we'll see how that works. And I like how we're kind of playing with this Western Conference theme of, all right, well, who's in and who's out? I mean, that's what it is every year anyway. It's been that way for a long time. But when you have this type of stuff moving, obviously the Clippers look to make some noise here in about 10 days. There's a lot of moving parts. No doubt about that, man. There is a whole lot of moving parts. And something just slipped me. I was just about to ask you something, too. And it just slipped my mind. I hate when that happens. I'm not in my normal area where I do a show, so usually I'd have a pen and paper, and I just – go ahead.
Maybe it's why I texted you, because, our last show, you asked me where's Kawhi going, and I felt pretty good that he was going to the Clippers. And what I should have said on the show was Vegas currently has the Clippers as a 6-1 favorite to win the title. I'm pretty sure they're only – behind Milwaukee and LA. I think the Warriors are 15-1. I might have to jump on that, because if the boys come back, 15-1 is a hell of a bargain. But anyways, I think the 6-1 is showing that, hey, they think they're landing Kawhi. Obviously, Vegas is they don't make up shit for no reason. But the Clippers being 6-1 to win a title, that's kind of hinting that, okay, we're probably going to land a superstar, and Kawhi is the only guy they've really been thinking about getting. So obviously we'll still need to see. Obviously he hasn't made a decision yet. I'm sure Toronto's doing all they can to keep him, but for the Clippers, if you do get Kawhi, all of a sudden they're now a team that's in that race of the gauntlet of a bloodbath in the West to make a playoff squad. And if you had Kawhi Leonard with Lou Williams and stuff, you all of a sudden got a pretty crazy good offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And maybe they'll just come to me, but I did want to, and we'll keep this conversation going, when it comes to this, because I do like what we're doing here. But have you heard about the conspiracy theory that Kyrie Irving tweaked his voice and called into a Boston show? Have you heard that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
gonna play a clip of it, and then we'll react for it, okay? So I'm just going to play it right now.
Okay.
And you tell me what you think.
I don't think the fans really had it out for Kyrie. Maybe not until the end, but all right, let's hear it. Let's go to Mikey and Waltham. Mikey.
Hey, so I was just calling in saying that with such a rare talent like Kyrie, it's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more. Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast, and I think it serves us right that now he's gone, and look at what we're left with.
Oh, my God. Wow. No, that's him. That's him. It's the inflection. That is him. It's not just the voice. It's the inflection in the way he talks. I didn't catch that at all when it happened live.
Oh,
are you just as blown away as I am, Beetle?
No, I'm not. Beetle is, you are, that's not Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah, that is.
What's the matter with
you? The end sounded like him. You want to hear the beginning again? Is this Kyrie?
Hey, so
cadence?
I was just calling in saying that.
Yeah, it's the cadence.
It sounds like Kyrie trying to disguise his voice.
It's the delivery. It's absolutely the delivery. You can't hide that.
You guys are
top of a side-by-side. You want to hear side-by-side back and forth?
Hold on.
Here's side-by-side. This is interesting.
Is it Kyrie on the phone or just Kyrie speaking?
Nope, Kyrie speaking.
All right.
With such a rare talent like Kyrie,
and then you start figuring out what is important to you off the floor.
It's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more.
It'll be an unbelievable experience for something new.
Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast.
Oh, it's him. That's him. Right. No, that's
maximum potential.
So, what are your thoughts when you hear that? When I first hear it, it didn't sound like him. The first part of it to me didn't sound like it. Plus, I think he'd go like, way lower. If he was going to mess with his voice, wouldn't you think he'd really mess with his voice and not just the hair? That's my guess. But once you started hearing the other layers side by side, then it did kind of sound like him. What are your thoughts on that, dude?
The voiceovers made it sound pretty damn alike, Chris. I gotta say, man, you know, obviously this is such a Kevin Durant fake Twitter burner account, you know, same kind of idea.
This is a whole new level.
Obviously,
though.
Kyrie's.
This would be a whole new level.
Yeah,
that.
This is Christ, fucking Dookies. You know, Grayson Allen's in a trade. Kyrie's impersonating his voice. I would assume in the next week or so we'll know where he's going. He was so close to dotting the I's and the E's, because E's have dots on them.
That's
going
say,
to Brooklyn,
yeah.
But
right
but,
now
P's
no Durant
and Y's and Z's. Now no Durant and obviously Clay's probably not going to the Lakers. You know, it doesn't appear to be at all. So I mean, the door's open for him down there. You know, man, it just goes to show that these guys are humans, you know. They're all wired differently, you know. Obviously, Kyrie is probably, I mean, and hell, I'm a guy that's never liked him, and I hate Duke. And even I thought the ESPN article the day after Boston got knocked out of the playoffs, which was a 6-page article ripping him to shit about how he's the main reason the team struggled, was over-the-top, cheap-ass work, you know. Again,
sure.
I'm not a Kyrie guy, but when he posted an article about, you know, well, he wasn't helping the rookies. He wasn't being a good example. He wasn't helping in clutch situations. It's like, well, could have Brad Stevens done something? You know, I'd be kind of pissed off leaving that town too. With you know, now how the fans treat him, who knows? Boston, that town's a whole mess. You know, whatever. But the voiceover did sound pretty damn similar, brother. That is kind of crazy to think about. I saw that on Twitter. I saw that pop up. So I like that you played the sound, but I hadn't heard the audio. I'd just seen a couple of Twitter comments and whatnot.
Yeah, the first part doesn't, but when I thought about it again, it's like, well, maybe the first part doesn't because he was in on his voice. He had a good mimic of something else. But then as he kept talking, the normal him started coming out because he's not like some sort of major actor. Sure, you know, he has some acting in his background, but
no.
That it was kind of interesting. And then real quick, before we get out of here, I'll let you finish up too with any other last thoughts or whatever. But if you're LeBron, now clearly they're trying to actually do another trade or two to try to get $32.5 million over the cap. So they, you know, theoretically could sign role players with their exemption and sign another guy. We talked about Butler, Kemba and all that. Let's just say, watch Kyrie sign like a 3-year, you know, $60 million. You're like, what the hell are you doing, dude? I don't even think you should do that. Get your money, dude. But anyway, no matter what contract it would be, if you're LeBron, are you really going to take Kyrie back? Like, if he tucks his tail between his tail between his legs, and he already made the phone calls. Remember, he made the "I'm sorry, big brother."
Yep.
You know, you were right. Dude, this is harder than it looked like on the outside. And LeBron has even said in interviews that it's just a matter of time until little brother gets to take over scoring, period. You know what I mean? So are you going to take him back? Is winning a big enough deal to you? Clearly, they blend well together. Obviously, right? We've seen that on
sure.
the court.
Yes.
Do you take him back, or do you say, I'll take Butler or Kemba instead, or six quality role players? What do you do with Kyrie? Do you really take him back if you're LeBron?
I don't know. I would lean towards Butler or Kemba. I think we actually touched on this a little bit last show, too, and so I can't change my answer. You know, I think Butler is the best overall player with defense being his advantage. Obviously, Kemba can score off the ball pretty crazy as well. So I just think those guys offer too much. Well, I should say they offer a little less room for LeBron. Now, obviously, Butler is not exactly a perfect clubhouse guy. At least he was in Minnesota.
Right.
So I think if you want less drama, go Kemba. But And Jimmy Butler, again, the guy just in clutch moments, he really actually he's not one that's afraid to take the ball. And obviously with LeBron and AD, you don't necessarily need that. But, I mean, there's game after game this year, whether or a couple of years, whether it's with the Wolves or Philly or Chicago.
Yep.
The dude, if there's a minute to go and someone needs to make a bucket, he's probably going to make it, or he's going to be a very good defensive player.
Right.
So, I mean, LeBron's a freak defensively when he wants to be. If you had Butler to that team, I just think Butler would be the easiest situation. I would avoid the whole Kyrie dilemma. And obviously, if he doesn't go to L.A., obviously the Nets deal hasn't gone away by any means at all. So yeah, I would go Butler. Who knows how much of a suck up Kyrie's done to LeBron? You know, because you know he left there because he wanted to be the alpha. He wanted to be the alpha of his own team.
Exactly.
And
right.
He realized he ain't an alpha, or it's a lot tougher said than done.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah,
it,
yeah. I'm assuming Chris, those dominoes are going to start falling. Maybe Kawhi is the first domino to fall. Maybe, you know, Kawhi, you know, obviously, hypothetically, let's say Kawhi stays in Toronto, which is a possibility, then that opens up a whole different situation for the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers then become a Kyrie sweepstakes. I think, you know, we always kind of hear in the NBA, well, we need some guy to go somewhere first. So maybe Kawhi is the domino.
Right.
And then from that point, people go on. Because obviously, if you're Toronto – and you lose Kawhi, you just won a title, you're on cloud nine, you don't want to fall back to being a team without a superstar. I mean, Kyle Lowry's good, but he ain't Kawhi, so then they're kind of back in the mix. So we'll see. But I would assume in the next week or so, my friend, we'll have a splash come down, and I'll be back home in Minnesota again when we can go to the bar and have some discussions and do another show again. But I'm assuming, like you said, normally around the 4th of July or a little bit sooner this year, we'll see some more dominoes fall, and that'll be fun to see how that plays out. But everything we're leaning about is all about the West again. You know, Anthony Davis is now a Laker. You know, Conley is now up in the Jazz as a possibility. The Clippers are trying to add someone. So from that standpoint, maybe guys like Clem and Kawhi say, dude, let me stay in the East. It's a lot easier path. Maybe you don't have the teammate talent to get out West, but you sure as hell don't have to grind 82 games out of the year to make the playoffs, Chris.
Well, and because at one point in time, it was Kyrie and Butler to the Knicks. Remember that? Could you imagine Butler and Kyrie, though, dude? He would destroy Kyrie, dude.
That would be a bad combination.
He would get into the flat earth and everything, dude. I mean, he would – oh, my God, dude. That would be really, really bad.
That would be
bad. One of the funniest – even though it's the Wolves getting ripped – the game of zones with this year with Jimmy Butler and the practice facility.
Who wants
to die today? You know, like that was hilarious, dude. But imagine Kyrie coming in with his head down, trying to avoid conflict, you know, in the locker room. Like, good luck with that. He'd come out with a black eye, you know what I mean? Like, that would be... Oh my! And then Jimmy he'd be like, "Well, we just had a miscommunication about what the shape of the Earth is. That's all it was. You know, that's what he'd be saying and shit." But yeah, that's all I got, man. You got anything else before we shut this puppy down?
No, I'd say we're good. And as I just said, Chris and I'll be back again pretty soon.
Because
all these pieces are going to go somewhere,
something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be discussing where Kawhi goes, where Kyrie goes. Obviously, there'll be other good role players. Houston's in a crisis because James Harden and Chris Paul aren't friends. It won't surprise me. Obviously, Chris Paul, he's not a huge Chris Paul guy, but he's still a good player. I mean, he can still get you buckets and play good defense.
I would take Chris
Paul for Wiggins in a heartbeat.
Chris Paul for Wiggins in a heartbeat. Take whatever you want from our team. I'll take old man. I'd rather pay the old man than Wiggins.
And obviously the Wolves they're trying to trade Wiggins. So we'll fill in all those blanks as we do our show and as Chris the next 7-10 days. So until then, thanks for listening. As always, as Chris mentioned, you always feel free to call in. It's always fun to get those calls and I know sometimes people like to call and just listen online too. So have a good weekend. The boys are out tonight. Peace.